Hello, and welcome to the Centre of the Universe, a D&D podcast where four mates journey through a magical land of adventure. This is another of our one-shot adventures, this time featuring Bubba, played by Will.
So, yeah, it's basically gone really complicated, and now I've got, like, a female head of an elven house and the brother of a former now-dead head of an elven house, both a bit interested with finding me dead.
And introducing Solly the Smuggler, who's played by our guest Maria.
I just need, you know, the more hands on deck the better. You're pretty nippy, you've survived this long, and I heard all about your reputation and just getting in trouble left, right and centre, but you're pretty nippy.
And we also have joining us Alex from the podcast, who's doing several NPC voices.
They're taken here, no.
So please sit back and enjoy Mithril Fast Nights.
I'm all clammy, I'm really nervous.
What we're doing is we've got Will playing as Bubba.
Say hello, Will.
Well, hi. Hello.
And Maria is going to play an NPC called Solly the Smuggler.
Yeah.
Solly or Sully?
Solly.
Cool.
With an S-O-L-L-Y. Don't forget it, bitch.
Bubba's criminal contact, Solly the Smuggler, in the
nice.
In the handout.
Refer to your homework.
Your name. Did you send me a handout?
Oh, Will.
So in the journal, you've got the handout section. You should only see artwork and Bubba's criminal contact.
What journal? What?
Come on, what come journal? On, Will. You played this game before in this on the
Roll20. Oh yeah, look, fuck, there's loads here.
The newspaper looking
yes,
thing.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, the newspaper looking thing.
Even I know that.
Come on.
Oh God, it's like a dream. I was all prepared and now I'm naked and I've never studied Latin and I've still got to do the exam.
Is it Tempus Fugit or Tempus Fugit?
Pardon you.
And Alex, also from the podcast, is going to be doing various NPC voices, right?
Hello there.
Yay.
All right, Obi-Wan. Hello. Oh yeah, I was going to start off with a bit of story as well, because one thing that's worth pointing out in advance of this is that this kind of world that I created, it's at war, and there are four main factions. I did describe this in the intro that we did way back in 2019 when we did the intro, but I just wanted to do another little bit of blurb again. So I'm just going to do some talking and then we'll get into it, all right? Cool. And if anyone needs to know anything or can't make anything work, just let me know. Just share.
Will do.
All right.
But don't interrupt Jody during his big speech.
yeah. That will spoil only, it for everyone.
Yeah.
Only Mikey can do that. He's like, whoa, wait. I'm really confused.
Yeah, he was like, whoa. I have no idea what's going on.
Slow down.
Yeah. Where are we?
You're also allowed to interrupt him if he brings up an obscure Dungeons and Dragons thing that no one's going to know, like Scrimshaw.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone knows what Scrimshaw is now.
No. We now know what Scrimshaw is.
Yeah, but anyone listening to this podcast, will know what Scrimshaw is as well.
Do you know what Scrimshaw is, Maria?
No, I'm very sorry to hear that you have that.
Have you not listened to the podcast, Maria?
I've listened to a few.
Oh.
Listened to, like, the first two episodes.
Oh yeah, my
I think it's
word.
Like episode 3.
And then you were like, man, I have enough of Alex's voice at home. I'm all right with this.
Well, one time I came to pick him up and he was playing in the car and I was picking him up and I thought, that's a bit much.
It's a bit much. You look like that's a crazy girlfriend
did,
thing
yeah.
to happen.
Yeah.
Psycho killer. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to hear the story.
Put some Hasselhoff instead.
Yeah, all right. Scrimshaw is carved whale bone.
Oh, nice.
FYI, mm-hmm. if that comes up.
Okay, FYI. All right, yeah, so here we go with my little bit of blurb.
Sorry, Jody, can I just really annoy you there just by jumping
yeah,
in just right at the start? I've got it out of my system now.
Yeah,
I've got it out of my system. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. And also, like, you bodged the first word, so you should just take a deep breath and we're all going to, like, sit back. and just let Jodie tell us a story.
Yeah. Bodged. Amid much disaster and devastation, the peoples of this world have started to flourish once more. In the northwest is the once great kingdom of Nera. It has been hit particularly hard and was without leadership for many years until a scion of Heronius was found. Some say they were kept hidden by a secret society until the right time, and an alliance was forged between the humans, dwarves, and stone giants in the mountains of northern Altara. The three leaders signed a treaty and pledged to uphold the virtues that helped Great Nera to succeed. Thus was formed the League of Nerath, and they stand for Truth, Justice, and the Nerathan Way. In the northeast, amongst the grim and foreboding mountains, are the ancient kingdoms of Karkoth. Dedicated to dark and evil gods, their machinations know no depravity, and they want nothing more than to cover the world in darkness and claim all the souls of the living. They are known to send evil agents far and wide to sow discord and dissent amongst their enemies and to seek the lost artifacts that hold the keys to their diabolical plans. In the southwest, amidst scorched deserts, are the fortresses of the Iron Circle. They serve many dark masters from the Nine Hells or from the Abyss, and count the military might of the vast armies of Hextor as their ally. Their aim is to enslave every free being on the Prime Plane and build a world suitable for the Devil Lords and Demon Princes to rule when they can break down the barriers and spill out of their hellbound planes to ruin and slaughter. In the southeast are the ancient homelands of the Elves. Vast forests, jungles and rivers are fiercely protected by the Elves and Druids from their wondrous cities and towns which have stood for tens of thousands of years. Only recently, due to the encroachment of enemy forces from all factions, the loose structure of leadership has been formed into the Valin Alliance. Their fast ships are the envy of every faction, and their deep connection to the natural world gives them strength. Shall we play some Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, man, I want to roll some dice.
Shall I? Well,
let's play some games with the minimum amount of witty jokes.
Yeah.
Do you want some dice, or do you want to do virtual dice?
I'm doing virtual, I think.
Do whatever you want.
Because I've not really got... I'm on a bed, you know? Flat surface, not really my...
Yeah, I'm going virtual dice.
Yeah, you know. Have the machine make your fate for you.
Yeah.
I know. You're a real boy.
Cool.
I think my dice have been packed. I think my dice have been packed away.
Oh, no. You let someone else touch your dice. That's bad.
All right, what are we doing? So we are setting this before the events of the podcast, and we spoke about, didn't we, that after you had your magical accident, after Bubba had his magical accident, he turned to a life of crime, you know, finding or stealing rare artifacts, or, you know, kind of tricking them out of people, valuable treasures as well, and then selling them on the black market, right?
Yeah.
So I sort of thought we could start with Bubba being down on his luck and kind of trying to escape from the Baron's men, or you know, what could be the latest scrape that he's gotten himself into, you think?
That's another fine mess you got.
Well, and this is... Oh, sorry, can I just double check? Where are we in Fidlington?
Yeah, let's do Fidlerton. Let's move the map to Fidlerton.
So the latest scrape that Bubba's got himself into is, well, basically this is what happened. So you know how like elves are quite sort of
honour
driven, racist, yeah, like really racist, like really like kind of massive, really massive sort of into racist. Them, yeah, like really into like. Inward looking, but also very kind of honour driven. You know, that's a big thing with them. So essentially doing a bit of a deal around returning a family heirloom to an elven elder, it kind of got a bit out of hand due to some incidents around drinking and a misunderstanding about intoxication levels caused by certain alcohols. It all got a little bit out of hand and the elf accidentally got stabbed. Now, the elf's ex-wife...
Mm-hmm. Your Honour, well, that's my story. That's
the elf's now widow had... Well, actually, the elf's brother had first shown up deeply annoyed about the fact that, it hadn't been an honourable death. Anyway, through various mechanisms, honour being a big factor of it, it was really important that it appeared that I had stabbed the elven elder in combat in a way that was becoming of their rank and station within that context. So then the elf's wife turned up. And there was a whole thing about houses and about heritage, and I ended up having to marry the elven wife and then become the head of the house briefly, which was obviously a big issue because elves are very racist, man.
I just got the visual of a tiny little gnome, like, fucking marrying a 7.5-foot elf woman, like... What the fuck is going on with you? What time frame is this over?
I have a feeling that Will's building to some magic source level of
there's no
line.
Magic source joke. You asked what happened. You didn't, you know, like it's... Bubba's a complicated, he weaves a tangled web. It's just, it's where he's at the moment. So anyway, he's ended up in the situation where... A big thing behind the honourable death factor was the fact that the brother was trying to inherit the house assets. So, yeah, it's gone really complicated. And now I've got, like, a female head of an elven house and the brother of a former now dead head of an elven house. Both a bit interested with finding me dead for different reasons. And... So there's a whole kind of just trying to stay out of the way of, like, any sort of elven society, but at the same time just trying to lie low because of various other scrapes and japes around the law, which is why I'm in Fidlington, because you can fly under the radar in Fidlington. You know, you can blend into the background. You know, it's not that people aren't asking a lot of questions.
What's okay, the name of okay. the elven house that you're now the head of?
Well, now it's called the House of Bubba, but I'm not technically the head of it.
Okay. I love it.
Like, and obviously that's a problem because elves are very racist and Bubba isn't an elven word. So, and it's like a big house as well.
Yeah,
so,
like...
so it's kind of like here's the thing: like my wife, if you will, wants me dead, as does everyone else in the family, because I brought utter disgrace on the family. Okay.
Gotcha.
Like, the brother didn't expect the elven head of the house to marry me so as to secure the assets of the house and stop him from stressing. He wants me dead because of that factor. So yeah, messy situation.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a sham marriage, not a marriage?
No, it's just, you know what elven weddings are like. They're pretty...
That's pretty,
you know,
as well.
Pretty boring.
They're long affairs, but if you once you're through the, it's like a marathon thing. It's like, as long as you get to the end, you get a medal.
A medal.
Okay.
Everyone's a winner.
All right. How has Bubba been staying one step ahead of the Baron's men then?
I mean, largely through sort of, you know, a lot of kind of appearing to be sort of poor and impoverished and a little bit kind of hiding in plain sight by dressing in rags and begging and looking for opportunities and just sort of, you know, being, you know, inconspicuous by, you know, the nature of class and just hiding behind that facade of being below the radar.
Okay. I'd like you to do a like a dice roll just to see how kind of successful you are. I think that'll be fun to do. And then we can kind of jam the story off that. So up to you. You're trying to deceive people, so you could do a deception check, or, you know, it could be considered to be a performance check. What have a look at your skills and have a think what kind of role you want to make.
I think I'm probably going to go for deception, because mm-hmm. I've got some plus action going on there.
Okay. So yeah, you're sort of hamming it up, pretending to be a kind of a street guy, a beggar.
Yeah, and I've done the, like, you know, I've put some makeup on so it looks like I've got some kind of awful skin disease, and I don't really, you know, I don't want to be touched. And
all right, roll them bones. Nice. You rolled a 19 plus 5 is 24. That's not bad. You're pretty.
Go on, Will.
It's working.
Pretty good deception. Yeah, yeah. Can you roll for me then, while you're sort of in the midst of this, you're kind of, you know, putting on a limp, or, you know, passing around your hat, or, like, you know, shoving your hat under people's noses to try and get some copper pieces. Can you do for me a perception check, please?
Yes. I'm not very perceptive. How did that work?
Not very good. Do you know what? Well. That was another thing that made me laugh, when you were like, oh yeah, Will, you were just chatting about your character and you're like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got a -1. Oh, I'm a daft little cunt. Oh, my. It just makes me laugh so much. Brilliant. Okay, Bubba, what's happening? So you're going around, you're putting your act on, and you're really into it. You're so into it that you're not really paying much attention to your surroundings, okay? All of a sudden, it's just darkness all around you. Someone's put a bag over your head, and you're being dragged around a corner, being told to shush your big gob. But before you can panic too much, the bag on your head is removed, and staring back at you is a familiar face. Wearing a wide-brimmed hat with a feather and wearing her customary eye patch is Sully the Smuggler.
Oh, Sully, you knob.
I love scaring you. You scare
a bit way, a bit
you
whoa.
Scare easy. You're never paying attention, mate.
Yeah, well, not paying attention to other smugglers.
Yeah, I can tell who you are past the limp and the rash.
Well, that's
I hope they're not real.
There we go. Yeah, I know you've had your hand. They're not real. They're not real. You're all right. You've got away with it this time.
All right. Good to see you, mate.
Good to see you too.
Sully has an interesting proposition, an offer, maybe to get you out of this sticky situation you found yourself in.
Mm-hmm. I actually have been seeking you out specifically, my friend.
Amazing.
Yeah, I have an offer. I have an offer of a bit of a job that I need doing.
Okay.
It would help you, I think, and be beneficial if you are interested on travelling on my boat across the sea. You'd really help me out if you can come with me.
Whoa. So we're going across the sea. Where are we going across the sea?
To a place called Mithrilfast.
Yeah, Mithrilfast is the end goal, but you know it's treacherous. Yeah. So I'm always shifting artifacts, and I just need, you know, the more hands on deck, the better. You're pretty nippy. You've survived this long, and I heard all about your reputation and just getting in trouble left, right and centre, but you're pretty nippy. You know, we go way back.
I could certainly do with getting away.
I trust you.
Yeah, I could certainly do with getting away from dukedoms and barons and forests right now. So some time at sea does not sound like a bad idea.
No one's going to, you won't have to watch over your shoulder as much. I could really do with some help, because I am on my way to try and help a contact of mine who is fleeing a war zone. I need to bring them safely back to some places that I can't pronounce.
Salduria.
What's the money like?
I can offer you at the end game, if we're successful, the same payment as I do to all my fleet and staff on the ship, because I'm a fair woman.
In fact, Sully, you pull out of your large trench coat a finely carved wooden box and hand it to Bubba. You know
what's it carved out of?
Wood.
wood.
Sorry, boarboard.
Not whalebone.
Not whalebone.
No. Not whalebone.
I should have chosen some like really obscure wood, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Or just some scrimshaw. Just
balsa. Balsa wood.
Balsa wood. There you go.
Balsa wood, mate. But it's carved. So, very intricately carved.
And what do they call? What do they call carved balsa wood in Dungeons and Dragons?
A waste of time.
Not scrimshaw. Not a weirdly specific name.
No,
I think is the kind of dick point I'm trying to make. It doesn't matter. Go on.
They call it a GCSE craft.
A GCSE craft.
Will, if you look down in like right down underneath the handouts, you might see underneath Mithril Fast Knights, Mithril Fast Items, and I've put something in your journal called the Wooden Box.
Ooh. Wooden puzzle box.
Okay, yeah. So this wooden box is covered with carvings and uses different coloured woods to create a visually pleasing pattern.
It's a down payment.
So Bubba... Yeah. It's to lure you into it. Bubba, it's basically a mystery. To attune to this item, and you have an idea that it might be a magic item, you have to study it for at least one day uninterrupted. And during this time, you learn that it's a puzzle. Okay, and then we'll...
What, during that one day, that's all I learn?
Yeah.
I bet this guy's Christmas shopping. This guy's Christmas shopping starts in June. Starts in June and still misses people out that he just couldn't... No idea what they want. Can't even remember their surname.
He's intelligent. He doesn't have much in the way of wisdom, does he?
Yeah.
So I spent a day studying a thing and just gone, well, that's a puzzle.
There is a way to...
That's a right old puzzle. Is there a way to open
There is a way to solve the puzzle, yes. You can solve a puzzle.
But I haven't got anywhere near that after a day of studying it.
No, but you can start to solve it. I can start doing you some skill checks after a while. But before all this happens...
Yeah.
Don't be distracted by it.
Are we doing the day on the boat? Is that the deal? Am I just going to stow away on the boat studying a box for the day? Is that like a future day that's sort of...
Yeah.
While working, though, still working on the boat. You're there for...
Well, not a day's uninterrupted study, boss. You know, that's... Right, what are you going to do?
You're handing out boxes that require a day's uninterrupted... We've got a day to study the box. We leave in a day.
Oh, no, he can do it. He can do it on the boat.
I'm not doing anything else.
Oh, gosh. Oh, shit. Except for pretending. Oh, dear.
Shit's getting
weird. There are some beefy-looking he-men.
And... Yeah, no, these are the Skalgard guards. We can have a first mate on your ship as well, Sully.
Yes.
And Alex can play the first mate. So if you want to, you can make up the character that Alex can play.
Oh, my goodness.
How does that sound?
Oh my dangerous. God. Okay.
Oh, not Roger the cabin boy.
This is Bubba, I'd like you to meet my first mate, Binti. Binti, yeah. Binti's a little old, but they're second to none when it comes...
Hello there!
Yeah, when it comes to running a ship. So you will be working very closely together with Binti.
Ah, Binti's my name,
Binti.
Yes.
Binti, it was my mother's name.
Binti's very good. So, you know, his ways are a little out there, but just trust
some
him.
Some say my ways are a little out there, but I get the job done, don't I, Captain? Yes, I do that, I guess.
So no arguing amongst yourselves. You work together.
Not when Binti is around.
No drama when Binti's around. Oh, there'll be
lots of drama when
I've got a little... If I click show to players, can you guys see that? A little picture of Fiddleton Docks.
Oh, yeah.
That must be... Is that Bunty now in the leather... Overall.
Binti, yeah, I put Binti there. Yeah.
Binti? I don't even know what I said.
Is it Binti or Bunty?
Binti in the west, Bunty in the north.
I prefer Binti.
Binti in the streets, Bunty in the sheets.
But, you know, that's for another time.
Yeah.
But Binti prefers it, you call him Binti.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine being sexual in a similar way to a load of hanging flags at a fete in the middle of summer.
Oh, very clever, sir. Very clever. I hear that joke now. It took me a second to old Binti to get it, because old Binti's never heard that one before, sir. No, living on a ship, surrounded by flags, sir, on a ship, you know. Never heard that before, have I, sir? No. still.
I don't get it, but I think
we're
it's
gonna be
too
good
low
friends, you and I, aren't you? You and Binti are going to be good friends. I can see it now.
Oh, really? Good.
all right, Binti, you're drawing attention to everyone. Because there's some Skalgar, familiar-looking Skalgar guards. They seem to have been patrolling the streets, Bubba, where you just were, as if you've been tipped off, maybe. They haven't spotted you, but you're going to have to be stealthy if you guys want to make it to... Sully, what's the name of your ship as well?
The Mermaid.
The Mermaid.
The Mermaid. Hurry.
Okay, cool. Brilliant stuff. You get to the Mermaid. You know that Binti will have kept everything shipshape and made sure that, you can leave, or, you know, what's the word for a boat leaving?
Cast off?
Sail. Launch.
Depart.
There you go. Launch. Very, very quickly. But you see that the Baron's men are hot on your heels.
Bloody city boys.
It looks bad, as you've had to break cover and briefly you're spotted. It looks bad. But then there's all of a sudden a terrible sight. The guards themselves seem to stop. You know, they uncharacteristically look just afraid, as if something is truly disgusting has entered their sight. And you all see it too, a shadowy figure. It looks humanoid in that it has kind of like billowy, shadowy arms that end in like shadowy claws. You see evil glares like red lasers fixed underneath its dark cloak. The guards themselves are just sort of stood stock still in utter terror when this shadowy pursuer, it moves up to one of the guards, and you just see it, you know, move its head and lift its hand and appear to whisper into this guard's ear. What you see is the same kind of evil glint sheen over the guard's eyes, and he brings his halberd around and sticks it right through the chest of his compatriot, to the screams of terror of the other guards. As this is happening, you're floating in the eddies of the river delta out to the midnight sea. But just as you look back to shore once more, you see right on the dock where the mermaid once was, this same shadowy figure. Its evil glare seems to be penetrating any fog or murk or sea spray that there may be. And
full sail ahead, boys.
It starts to follow, almost like, I like to think of it as like, you know, that episode of The Simpsons where Principal Skinner is following Bart, and he just sort of like goes under the river and then he's gone for a bit and then he pops up the other side.
Terrifying.
Oh.
Did anyone else see that?
Sully, you decide to sail through night and day and use every trick, including casting one of your magic spells that makes a 20-mile-an-hour wind, to make the trip as short as possible.
Nice.
A normal cargo boat, would complete this voyage in 8 days. You know, if you push it really hard, mm-hmm. you can do it in 3.
Sweet.
Wow. You'll get there on the afternoon of the third day.
We're going to be working non-stop, though.
Push it real hard.
Binti,
calm yourself. In your box, Binti.
I know, you love working hard and I appreciate it.
Well, you love it so much, Cam.
All right, back in your box.
Well, Binti, you're going to have a lot of hard work after this voyage, because you know when Sully pushes it this fast, a lot of repairs need to be done to the boat to make her ship shape again.
You're Sully.
I'm Sully. Oh, bless you. He's fading. Have a sweet drink. Have a sweet hot drink. Get back to it.
My blood sugar's getting low. I don't think I'll take my fantasy insulin.
Yeah. There you go. Not spring chicken.
Your insulin.
So you are travelling from Fiddleton here all the way across the Midnight Sea to the Dragondown Coast and Mithrilfast in the mountains of Northern Altara. Sully, I mean, in fact, let me just move you guys to the big map so you can, it makes much more sense if I do this. Whoa! So, you guys haven't seen this before, have you?
No.
The sea journey, this journey by sea. Let's... Did you like that, Will?
You...
On the first day, you leave with haste the frozen coastline of Scallon Reach, and head onto the open waters of the Eastern Midnight Sea. Binti and Sully, you point out to Bubba that to the north on a clear day, you might even catch a glimpse of the Winter Skull Island.
See that over there? In the north, on a clear day, you might even catch a glimpse of Skull Island, if you're lucky.
Winter Skull Land.
Anything else?
I'm staring at that box for 1 second.
What's good about Winter Skull Land? What's all that about then?
Skull Island, isn't it? You know, it's a land of treasure and business. And,
beautiful.
You know, so you bring it up.
Beautiful.
Tourist trap. I feel like that island should be smaller if it's like a treasure island.
It's quite big, isn't it?
Well,
yeah, it's massive.
A lot of treasure. It's got a lot of treasure on it.
Yeah, a lot of treasure. Well, yeah, it's, it looks sort of the size of Australia.
Where?
There's
the scale tool. I can actually find out how big it is, look.
It's 345 miles across.
Oh, is that miles?
Yeah.
It's not metres.
I was going to say, that's a perfectly adequate size for a treasure island.
See, you're travelling 1,000 miles, yeah, not 1 kilometre across the sea.
Not 3 days. How dare you insult my ship? 3 days to go 1,000 metres. Yeah. With two
mate, what have you been saying about all of those people in the other ships that are doing it in 8 days? Like, what are they doing?
They're rowing.
Yeah.
It goes round Skull Island. You get
the
star.
That's the holiday tour boat.
It's quite nice. Crocodile farm on there. Everything.
They treat their animals.
Binti didn't say it was good. Binti didn't say it was a good thing.
No. Me and Binti disagree about the crocodile farm.
Yeah, and you guys have to travel through the night. So that means taking shifts. So Bubba helps out when he's not staring at his box. Binti and Sully, you also know your roles very well on the boat. I said that this is a cutter. I did look up loads of boats, and I did have loads of information. But it's basically a static sailboat. So you have a mainsail and an aft sail generally on a cutter. So it's a small boat. You can't carry a lot of cargo, but that means it's very fast. And whereas a normal cutter would have two sails, you've got an extra two. Ooh. That's what makes it so fast.
I see the mermaid. She's a lovely boat. She's there. She's a cutter in her prime. She can't curry much, but she's hella fast. She's bananas fast, as the kids say.
All right, let's get to land quickly so Alex can choose a new character too.
This one's funny character a little bit. Arr.
And also, it's a little bit 2D.
It's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
I mean, really, we were talking about dick jokes being Darriga, and
Binti will go mad. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. If anyone calls him a pirate, game over.
The generic pirate.
Oh, game over.
I didn't say he was a generic pirate. I just said.
You don't have to. I know what I am.
But he does have a hook for a hand, a peg leg, and a parrot on his shoulder.
No, I don't. I don't have a parrot. It's a kitten.
And eat spinach 3 times a day to get stronger.
Yeah. Blow me down, Alan. Anyways, all of the second day, all you see is sea. The only thing to break the monotony is a giant iceberg to the north.
And an interesting box.
Yeah.
And a box.
Is it bigger or smaller, the iceberg, since the last time you came past? I don't know. Will, with the box, could you do for me a intelligence check, please? So if you roll just...
Good luck, mate.
You're all right.
Mister, it took him a day to work out. It's a puzzle.
Yeah, but there is many things.
Check. I'll see what I can do, but I'm not intelligent enough to even find it in my... Yeah. Is it in... Where is it? It's up in the top one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's all right. I've got a little plussy gussy. Let's have a look at it. Let's have a look at what that says. 16. That's all right.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, at first you thought this was just a beautiful art object, okay? Just like some carved piece of art. After a day of kind of having it in your pocket, the magic of it, it starts to intrigue you more and you start looking at the patterns more. That's when you figure out that it's a puzzle. And during the second day of fiddling with it, you find a hidden catch on it. you reckon with a bit of dexterity, you could manipulate it and see what this hidden catch does. It's basically, if you imagine like one of those puzzle boxes, they have a piece of the carved wood is kind of like, also has another function. And so this one in particular, it kind of opens up to open a hatch, basically.
Cool.
By the late morning of this, your third day at sea, you hear a cry from Binti of...
Land ho!
I'm not sure if I'm going to use Binti again.
Time, maybe. Call the agency. Yeah, that Binti guy, crikey.
Land, Binti, land.
Binti needs a 5-star review, otherwise he's going to start.
Okay,
Binti Land can't recommend Captain Sully. She left the sheets in a right old mess.
The cry of Land Ahoy goes up, and the churning midnight sea meets the impenetrable mountains of northern Altara spectacularly in what is known as the Dragon Down Coast. The final approach is made near where the midnight sea meets the Wailing Sea. Not whaling as in we kill whales, but whaling as in whales. The Wailing Sea is so called for the legend of the sirens, being said to have lured ships to founder on the rocks in ancient times. As you approach, there are more ships now coming and going, and you have to slow your speed to comply with the shipping laws of the Straits of Mithrilfast. You don't want to get a fine, or worse, boarded.
Mine, there you go.
You have to await your slot, and you receive a docking bay number. Let's say a flying fish. Is that too much? A flying fish delivers you your docking bay number, and eventually it's your turn to dock.
Flying fish.
The sea lashes against the foot. it's basically, you know, it's a big queuing system, and you have to get your docking bay number, and they send these magical animal messengers in the form of flying fishes.
I mean, I've got to be honest, it sounds more effective than terminals at Heathrow at the moment. So
yeah, have you ever tried to park in Westfield Shopping Centre?
Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty certain that vaccine centres would work better if they employed magical flying fish.
Oh, well, just you wait, because the sea lashes against the foot of 300 miles of rugged mountains. You are sailing towards a cleft in two mighty ridges when you catch your first glimpse of Mithrilfast squatting between the peaks. Yells and whistles go up. Even above them, you hear the din of machinery. The boat passes below elevated metal gantries and cranes. The cranes descend here and there to pluck ships of all shapes and sizes out of the water to be winched up, dripping, to their docks, their bays. Papers are checked, and Sully, you're handed a slip for the ship. Binti, you're instructed to stay with the ship.
Yes.
Bye-bye. I'm going now. See you later.
Please. Let's change to a new image, and you see Mithrilfast in all its glory.
Oh, wow.
It is a metropolis, a magical metropolis, squatting between the peaks of the mountains. Glass elevators are lined up to take the disembarking seafarers like yourselves up to the gallery. The gallery is the upper levels of the city that you see there. This is a vast platform suspended above sea level, upon which is built the city's grander buildings. Some are domed and some towers. Almost all have trailing smoking chimney stacks. You
is
see
that
the king.
A monorail.
Yeah.
They've got a fucking monorail.
Yeah, yeah.
Monorail.
This is steampunk.
What are the coasters like?
Again.
The coasters.
We're working.
Yeah, roller coasters.
Oh, there's a theme park.
You can't go on the ride. No. You're not allowed to play with your box.
First box, then mission, then roller coasters.
I want to set more adventures in Mithrilfast later because I think it's a cool place that I'm going to.
Yeah, yes. I like it.
You see the King's Hall with the banners of the Free Regents of Nerath flying above it. So that would be the Free Regents are the humans, the dwarves, and the stone giants. They're the three races who formed an alliance and based their kind of tenets and their ethics around the ancient civilization of Nera, and they signed their treaty and stuff like that.
These are the peaceful peeps, right?
Yeah, these are the good, let's call them the good guys.
But we're not being hunted here, so to speak, are we?
Well, not by the people we were being hunted for.
Yeah, and you're a nightmare, Bubba, so, you know, try and behave.
I know, right?
You are. Just try not to kill anyone and marry the widow. Awful.
No, I didn't marry the widow. The widow married me. Let's be clear about that. There wasn't a choice.
Found that very hard to believe.
Semantics isn't one.
That you killed her husband and then she was like, oh, I must have him. He shall be mine.
No, it wasn't the sexual thing. It was to do with like a right of... because of the honour transfer. Yeah. Because the brother was insisting that it was an honourable death.
But presumably she didn't hang out with you.
That was the honourable... Yeah, where it was like the honourable win.
Yeah, maybe she hated the husband and you did her a favour.
She definitely didn't have the hots for me. It was a very transactional thing and now she wants me dead.
Okay, guys. So, people throng the busy streets. The smells, the sounds are all overwhelming for those unaccustomed to life in a metropolis built with magical ingenuity, cunning engineering, and masterful artifice.
And just where's all the shit? There's no shit on the streets. That's, like, you know what I mean? Like, everywhere's a bit...
Yeah.
Smart, man.
The upper level is called the gallery. The upper level is an amazing feat of dwarven engineering, stone giant craft and human ambition. And there are brick terraced houses, clean streets and every diversion you could wish for. The part below the upper level, however, is called the Shades. And here are the guts of the docks and the vast warehouse districts presiding over crowded streets and dark alleyways. And Sully, this is where you know... Mm-hmm. You have to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Found that person.
Yeah. You need to go to a pub called the Rubber Dub Dub. It's a rough dive bar in the Shades.
Binty's always there, though. That's fine. It'll be all right.
Well,
that's Binty's favourite.
Binty's
yeah, if I see him there,
shit.
It'll be helpful.
Binty's back on the
boat. Oh, no. Yes, thank God. Okay, he's on the boat.
So you make your way to the northwest of the city, in just past the artificers area. What is it? I've got a name for it.
I don't understand what you mean by artificers.
It's famed Artificers Row. It's artificer is, you know, a maker of things.
Craftsman.
Okay.
It's a part hipster. Of the yeah. Yeah. So I'll just explain the layout, because the gallery has several districts. There's the King's Hall, which has the hall itself sitting atop a small rise in the east. You've got the King's Hall district, which is like the administrative district. There's a grand square with huge fountain and statues and monuments, both old and new. And there's also the courts, the council chamber and the city watch house and stuff like that. To the north, in the shadows of the ancient entrance to the Dwarven Halls under the Dawnforge Mountains, is the Market District. Here are market squares with stalls and street food, the famed Artificer's Row, and taverns of all shapes and sizes. There's a famous boulevard that has shops of all types selling premium goods, and there's some residential buildings.
What's the boulevard called?
The Boulevard.
All right.
I couldn't think of it. Should we call it the Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
I mean, that was what I was angling for.
Because it's a Green Day song. To the south, in the shadows of the other mountain range, which is called Vor Rukuf, is the entertainment district, where one can find the theatre, the arena, as well as parks and various other distractions. And you often see stone giants going about their business. So these are huge beings, easily 12, 15 foot tall. And there are also eateries, inns, and they have a bitter rivalry with those of the market districts about who has the better food and beer. To the west is the monorail station, which takes passengers to and from Hammerfast, which is a dwarven town to the far west, and the Nentir Vale beyond that. So you head to the market district where, Sully, you know that there is a secret staircase that heads down to the Shade.
Okay.
You can use the elevators and escalators, but you know that they are watched over by the City Watch.
I want to keep it on the down low.
Keep it on the down low. So you move through the area just underneath the monorail track, which is mostly warehouses and rubble. You see, in fact, lots of construction going on. And there's a shout and the grinding of metal as a huge girder that was being hefted into the sky by a crane breaks loose and falls to the ground. I don't think anyone's in danger, though, right? It's all right. Okay.
That was scary, though.
You head to downtown, which is to the south of the Shades. This is where the majority of the commodities are. Like ramshackle dive bars, brothels, and hidden shrines. And also the famed fighting pits. And it's best not to visit unless you have a strong stomach.
I love it there.
You head to somewhere called the Rub-a-Dub-Dub, a rough dive bar in the Shades, and there's all kinds of ne'er-do-wells here. Let's give Alex a barkeep that he can have, so, you know, he can stay involved. So, Alex, I've added a new character to your journal called the barkeep. You can decide how they sound.
Hello, I'm the barkeep.
Binti, are you moonlighting?
I literally can't do that voice anymore.
I'm gonna die. You should go for a nice cut. Make him Australasian, smooth.
None of your business, none of your noise. Thank you.
Rubber dub dub
none
dub.
None of your Australasia.
We are in the rubber dub dub dub.
Oh, we are. Yeah, I suppose. We could do. All right.
Barkeep's drunk.
Yeah, the barkeep's drunk.
I mean, that's kind of one of the perks of being a barkeep in Dungeons & Dragons.
One of the perks of being a barkeep here in the
room. I got my Australian after all.
He's very generous.
Have a drink, you can't.
All right, then. I mean, again, this is a little bit one-dimensional, two-dimensional, really. But okay.
We come here.
What, an Australian barman?
Yeah, we come here for the free pour. For the free pours. He doesn't measure anything.
Yeah.
He just free pours everything. It's brilliant.
So basically, this is like Dwarven Shepherd's Bush.
This is any bar in
London.
Yeah.
Acton.
There's an Australian behind the bar.
Bubba, let's say you've been fiddling with your box. Can you do a dexterity check for me, please?
Oh, can I? No, I can't.
No, I can't.
Dexterity. Dex, so, 16.
Ooh, nice, look at that. You've been playing around with this hidden catch that you found, and all of a sudden you've found sort of like the hidden mechanism that makes it work, and it clicks, and a hatch opens on the other opposite side of the box. There, written in an arcane script, is a word, an activation word. You didn't like the activation word I chose for you last time, so you can choose what the activation word is this time.
Okay.
Sully, you are scanning this dive bar, the Rub-a-Dub-Dub. You know, you've just been told to meet a dissenter, someone who's fleeing the bloody coup in Sarthel. Mm-hmm. When you hear a chuckle kind of behind your left shoulder, just a ha, 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 ha. Well, 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 I didn't think they'd send you. You turn round and you see a copper scaled
fucking dust crash!
Dragon.
Fucking dust crash!
Dragon
book. Oh, my God. Oh, I fucking hate that dude.
Sully, you recognise Doc Crash. Maybe you've got a bit of history. You can decide. Okay. He says, what a turn up. How are you, Your Grace? He says sarcastically.
Don't you Your Grace me. Oh, I can't believe they put us on the same job again. Nightmare.
He seems a bit edgy, though. He seems to be keeping to the shadows. And whenever anyone new enters the bar, he hunkers down a bit and avoids eye contact.
Shady as ever, always hiding.
Well, you know, one has to stay ahead of, you know, those who would seek to do harm to one.
Yes, one who behaves like you do, sure.
My reputation precedes me.
Yes.
You know, his full name is Docrash Shauna, but people call him Docrash for short. Docrash Shauna. It's like a dragony name. Dragons have strange names.
Like Keith.
So, Docrash says, like, he's his eyes still darting about. So, right, we can leave right away, right?
I'm ready to do this job. I assume you've been trusted to show me to the right person. So let's just get it over with.
It's me, darling.
Yeah, no, darling. None of that.
I'm your job.
Oh, you're the dissident. You've defected. You're the one that needs protecting.
Well, okay. Now you put it like that. You know, I was with a cultist who had defected from the Iron Circle, and I'd helped them escape from Sarfil, but they turned up dead. Can't explain it. They ended up dead. Infernal runes written in blood all about. It was terrible business. It seems the Crimson Council tracked this poor soul and dealt with their heresy. And I've picked up a little heat when I was in Sarfil, and I've got to get across the sea ASAP, or the Crimson Council will do the same to me.
I already don't trust you.
Are you sure we can leave? Are you sure we can leave right away?
What about the
Grand Ball? I heard they were expecting a special guest.
What are you talking about? Look.
He's looking at you knowingly.
I already don't trust you. And then you tell me that the person I'm here to meet is already dead and that you've already got heat. I don't trust you at all. So I'm not taking you anywhere.
All right. Well, you can't leave me here to die at the hands of the Crimson Council.
Well, I've lost a job, please. So it doesn't seem like I owe you anything.
I'm the job.
Okay, so if I take you back, am I still going to get what I've been promised?
The Valen Alliance will they will reward you handsomely for bringing me back to safety.
Well, that's a whole different job. That's a different job. This is a new job you have. Bless you.
Bless you.
And you've got a cold. Terrible having a cold. So, alright, I've softened it up to you a little bit now that I know you've got a cold.
Shut your sneezing fucking mouth in the back there, you fucking drunk.
You drunk bastard.
I need you to prove to me that what you're saying is true, to be honest, because I'm not buying it.
You're claiming ignorance about the grand ball that the Archmagister of Therund is putting on tonight.
Jesus, man.
I know you could do with one of these, and he pulls out two tickets to said Grand Ball. It has a fancy filigree writing on with gold leaf edging. It's a magical invite. So,
so what's the whole? Why do we need to go to the?
Yeah, ball? I'm no Cinderella. I know you love these fancy affairs, and you're full of it, full of yourself, full of it. I don't need these fancy affairs. And you a minute ago, you were saying that you need to escape. Now suddenly you want to go to a party. Still don't trust you.
Hey, it's not. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. But, you know, I'm not the one who needs to show their face. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. So let's stop playing these games.
I need a reason to go.
All right.
Look, I'm here with... I'm not on my own. You can see. I've got, you know, my old mate Bubba. You say you've got two tickets? Who's that for? Is that for me and Bubba, or is that for you and me?
Well, you know, I would have thought, you know, we've known each other, you know, a long time. I thought maybe, you know, where would I go?
Well, you're pretty shady at the best of times. I'm sure you could find some shade to...
Go and hide on the boat, sure.
You can hang out with Binti. Wanted. You remember Binti.
Oh, you're still hanging around with that nutjob? Yeah.
I am indeed. Oh, look, bless him. He's getting on.
He can hear you.
Apparently his hearing is amazing. But he is getting on, to be fair. He doesn't know up or down.
Binti is our bat.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle he's still around. But look, you can go on the ship. Yeah. I'll go with Bubba to the party.
Oh, I don't like it, but, you know, I know... I know I can hide out in the mermaid. All right. Well, come on, let's get out of here before we draw any unwanted attention.
I trust Bubba more than I trust you right now. You know why.
Fucking assholes want another drink?
I love the rubber dub dub. Best customer service.
Fuck off.
Best customer service. Do you want another drink? Yeah. Bugger off then. We're out of beer.
Get the fuck out of here. We're wasting up breathable space.
And sneezing all over it.
You want to buy a drink? You'll have to use an app from the table.
No, an imp. An imp. It takes your order.
An imp.
These imp systems, man, they don't work.
And if you want to go to the loo, you've got to wear a mask.
Yeah.
That's only on Tuesday on mask night, though.
Mask night is very good.
That's only on All Hallows Tuesday.
That's where me and Docky met. Mask night.
Any Tuesday. The cunt festival. Sorry, I had a little bit of stroke there.
It's a miracle you can keep track, eh? Right, so what's the score?
Right, well, let's get out of this. Let's get out of this shithole.
Yes. Are you gonna pay your bill?
The imp didn't work. The imp never works. I've had enough of the imp. We're not paying.
I'll have you know, he may have been on break when he came in.
Yeah, that's how many times I'm gonna pay.
I put in my payment details and then your Wi-Fi stopped working, so I had to do it all again.
My wife always works. My wife is 24/7. She's a hard-working woman. Don't you say anything about my wife.
My wife works really hard. You leave my wife, alone.
She's fucking amazing, mate. She never stops.
I can't believe you brought the wife into it.
Wifey, yeah. Yeah, I love my wifey.
Oh my God. Just get out of it. Just get out. We're drawing attention to ourselves now.
Well, bye then.
Doc Crash. Doc Crash pays the bill with. Get it in a mop.
See you tomorrow.
All right. When on the streets, Doc Crash is trying his best to stick to the shadows. You know, there's still a lot of people thronging the streets here in the shades. You will need to make your way back up to the gallery, though, in order to get Doc Crash to the boat. As you're moving through the streets of the shades, you see them, you know, there's a performer. He's balancing on a large ball whilst juggling clubs and balancing a small dog on his head. He has got a hat out front that people are throwing copper and silver, maybe even the odd gold piece here in there. After a while, you see that some ruffians approach and tell him that, you know, they seem to be telling him that he can't be doing... You can't be doing this here. Like, you know, not here, mate. Go on.
You got a permit for that, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a permit? Where's your permit? Come on now, son. You know the rules. You can't have a permit. Come on, fucking perform here. And you know what happens if you haven't got a permit?
Yeah. And what happens is the dog, suddenly its heckles rise. It leaps off this guy's head and goes for the throat of one of these ruffians as the guy legs it in the opposite direction. You make your way back up to the gallery. Who can you do for me, please? Everyone can do a perception check, even Dog Crash.
Even Cock Crash.
Cock Crash.
Perception. Perception. I'm really not very perceptive.
Oh, you got a 20, Will.
Oh, did I?
Natural 20. Right. Woo, woo, woo.
I'm having a perceptive day. Do you know why I think that might be? I think it might be because I just read all the stuff that I should have read to catch up. And now I know what's going on. So I actually am quite a lot more perceptive than I was a few minutes ago.
So now the virtual dice reflects your actual perception.
My actual perception.
It's definitely
level.
Connected.
Open the doors, man. Open the doors to perception.
Yeah,
just neuropathways. Am I 9 or 17?
9, oh, Maria. Yeah, seriously? You didn't roll with advantage, I'm afraid.
I think you've
can I roll with advantage? Was I ever inspiring to anybody, ever? Please?
It's fine. It doesn't matter too much. You can't pass all the rounds. You can't pass them all. You don't see it, but Bubba, you notice, well, it almost looks like some invisible flying creature is stalking you. You must have seen it silhouetted or like make an impression in some smoke trail or something. Doc Crash becomes very concerned. He's like, we need to get off the streets now.
Why? And, I don't see anything. Always such a drama queen, always.
He says it's the imp, it's that bloody imp. It must be the Crimson Council.
See, I thought, dude, we saw in Fillington, and then that word Crimson Council kind of tied in. Is it the same thing that's been following us?
No, this definitely doesn't look like it. This is smaller. A tiny little flying creature. An imp, if you imagine like a little gargoyle or something like that. Like a tiny little devil thing with wings and a poisonous tail.
You saw it, Bubba. We'll get eye level to you.
Smaller even than Bubba.
Oh my god, okay, well, you saw it, Bubba. I trust you. Remember, I trust you more than I trust Doggy here.
Doc Crash tries to blend in with the crowd. He does a stealth check.
Stealth check.
Are any of you taking any precautions, doing anything fun or special?
Can I roll a thing?
Yeah.
I want to roll a thing. I'm rolling a thing. I can't find my thing. Stealth. 12.
Yeah, you got it. 12.
That's medium.
And Bubba?
I'm going to do a deception.
Okay. What's your deception?
I'm going to make my outer leather jerkin appear a very highly visible colour and make it appear that I'm carrying a clipboard so that everyone assumes that I'm a health and safety professional and completely ignores me.
That would work anywhere, anytime. Yeah.
I know, right?
You could walk into an operating theatre.
I know, right? I'd just be like, excuse me, I'm just here to assess the capacity of your operation.
Wow. I'm scared of you.
I've rolled a 14.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great deceit. Great deceit.
Disappeared into the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like a bureaucrat.
What an insult. Ooh, easy with the language.
I know.
Thank you very much for listening to part one of Mithril Fast Nights. We'll be back soon with part two. I want to say a special thanks to my players, Will, Maria and Alex. We recorded this particular game back in, I think, June 2021, so back in the summer, just before I moved house. I want to say thanks very much to Dave for doing our music, our theme tune, as always. Just like the other one shots, the artwork for this particular episode was done by a Reddit user who I commissioned to do this art, and he goes by FlygoHR on Twitter, or you can visit his website www.flygohr.com. And most importantly, thanks to you for listening. I know it's been a while since our last episode. Life has been a bit chaotic, and we want to get back to more regular recording and more regular episodes very soon, including the second part of this particular adventure. And I also have some other ideas that I want to get going as well. So thanks for your patience. There'll be more from us. Cheers then. Bye.